Welcome to Ever-Changing Technology, the show where we explore innovation, leadership, and the future of industry. I'm your host, Jim Bradfield, and today we're sitting down with someone who has dedicated his life to pushing the boundaries of science, engineering, and what's possible for technology in Latin America. Our guest, Abraham Martinez Rodriguez, is the CEO and founder of Antares AC, Antares Aerospace, and Aeris Defense. His work spans aerospace engineering, defense solutions, STEM advocacy, airport evaluation, propulsion research, and breakthrough technology development. You know, he served as Mexico's national contact point for the Latin American space industry cluster, and actively drives STEM out research programs, including an initiative empowering women in Chilapa, Guerrero. Abraham is a visionary who builds companies from the ground up across aerospace, technology, green energy, and science education. Today, we'll explore how his upbringing, experiences, and mission led him to become a founder who is shaping the region's technological future. So Abraham, welcome to the show.
Oh, hey, Jim. Thanks a lot for inviting me to the show.
Yeah.
It's an honor to be here, and thanks for the warm introduction.
Great. And so we're going to begin by diving into your background and the early sparks that set your path in motion. So one of the things that a lot of innovators feel overwhelmed when they have dreams, but they don't have resources or direction. Now, Abraham's story shows how curiosity, discipline, and purpose can help somebody move from idea to action, you know, even in challenging environments. So, Abraham, good to see you again. First thing I'd like to discuss is your background and upbringing in Mexico.
Okay. Well, my background is like I born in Mexico City, Jim. I'm 30 years old. So in my first years, I was a very curious kid, you know, that kid that bring all the parts together and have plays with Legos and with, you know, little toys and little stuff to know how it's working in the world. So I was very curious about the things that about engineering, you know, STEM, math, and all that stuff. So for me, it was a very clear path to know what's going to be my profession. You know, I always know that I want to be an engineer. My dad is a civil engineer. So where I was a child, he teach me how to fly water rockets, you know. So that was very cool to me. And I learned how to make those rockets. And well, my family is like a very traditional family or like a very normal family in Mexico. You know, the culture, the traditions, and all that stuff. But that's my background, Jim.
Wow, that's, yeah, that's good. You came up in a technology family then. That's different than most people in Mexico, I'm sure. Now, you've been involved in several startup companies, so in all kinds of different areas. So what led you to really go into starting up companies?
I think that is the necessity to mix, Jim, the business stuff with the technology passion, you know, to the opportunity to create or to build something. So I recognize in my person that this energy to want to create at the first beginning, you know, machines or technology or stuff like that was the same to want to build, you know, the creativity stuff of a business or the structure of a business. So at my young age, like 18 or 16 years old, I started to build a little business, you know, at the first time, like even import business. I I import toys from China to Mexico and I sell them in libraries and other stuff. And after that, I started to making some prototypes in energy industry. So was a little bit of mixtures of my identity and discover the next step. But what I think that is my case is the necessity to mix this all this up together and making something useful for everyone in the society. And of course, the other component that I think that is important is that in Mexico it's very difficult to know or to meet someone that is related to technology. You know, like in entrepreneurship with technology. So I was looking for that example or that person that can lead me. But I saw that that was very difficult, and I think, okay, I need to do it. So that's the other trigger that I think that led me to do that.
Well, that's, and that's very, very actually pretty amazing that you would do that. That's, the entrepreneurship in Mexico, as we work a lot in Mexico with you guys. It's just not there. But, tell us about the green energy company that you started up. I mean, what was the objective of that company?
At the first, at the beginning, is just to make a little experiment about the hydrogen technology. You know, this for clean energy, for fuel cells, for a plasma torch, and to make more efficient the combustion in cars. So when I was studying the high school, I make a prototype, a little prototype, and I research in the internet companies that make this kind of technology. So I found that was some companies here in Mexico that was making some components sparely. So I integrate my first prototype with these companies, with the help of these companies, and I start to making kits for the transportist and the cabs and all that stuff. So that was a first idea. Not very important in my opinion, but I learned a lot of business and a lot of finance there. And I learned that it's more important, of course, to know all the operative about the business and the stuff behind. And that was the importance of that business for me.
Yeah, and so that's really important thing to actually have a start. I mean, most people don't start. They don't have any idea where to start. And so, that's the thing that I see is the biggest thing that keeps everybody down, especially when you're in Mexico. I mean, there's kind of always been this feeling of, hey, I'm gonna let these other guys do this. I'm gonna just keep my head down and do this work. And do you still find that in the kids growing up today?
I think that it's very difficult, the context here in Mexico, Jim. It's difficult because the culture here is more oriented to football or maybe to be a different kind of success story. I think that the world don't have many or don't have many success model about entrepreneur in technology, and in a responsible way or in a more consciousness way. So for Mexico, that doesn't exist. The common entrepreneur or the common businessman here in Mexico that is related to technology is maybe more like interest in gain profit very, very fast and not in innovate, not in making new stuff, not in seeing new markets or even in compete with the other countries, So in Mexico, it's a very difficult thing to see this context even in the universities, I think so. It's a starting right now, but I think that is difficult.
Yeah, that's what I've seen too. And I mean, we deal a lot of, like I told you, we work a lot in Mexico and we work with several different companies there. And you really have to look for special people that are actually willing to do that. So, speaking of special people, what led you to get interested into technology, especially aerospace technology?
Oh, okay. Well, as As I told you, like when I was a child, I liked to play with, monster trucks and ships and trains. But my more fascination was the airplanes, because it was, oh, how that flies. It's a very heavy machine, and I want to know why it's flying. So at the first beginning was that impulse when I was a child. But after that, when I was in high school, I took an astronomy courses and astrophysics courses. That's outside of my school. I enrolled to the Autonomous University courses that were in a museum. So I go there, and I love astronomy. So that two both worlds, like astronomy, astrophysics, and the love for machines, it led me to study aeronautical engineer. So an aeronautical engineer that combines the two passions. So I think that's led me to that world.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. And you're still doing a heck of a lot of interesting stuff in there. And we're going to be talking about that next. Let me coming up next, we're going to dive into Abraham's work with CLIE. Now,
Okay.
that is particularly interesting, and I want to make sure that everybody stays and listen to that, because he's helping lead the space industry across all of Latin America.
Okay.
And we're back. I'm Jim Bradfield, and this is Ever-Changing Technology here on Now Media Television. Welcome back to Ever-Changing Technology. You want more of what you're watching? Now stay connected to Ever-Changing Technology and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. You can download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS. Unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. And if you're on the move, you can also catch the podcast versions right from our website, www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. So welcome back to Ever-Changing Technology. We're here with Abraham Martinez Rodriguez, and now we're shifting into his groundbreaking work in Latin America's space industry. Abraham, he's been a real key connector, helping unify clusters, incubate innovation hubs, and drive programs that elevate the entire region's scientific and technology at capacity. Many viewers, Abraham, want to know, and they want to understand how large-scale industry clusters are built, and how Latin America is becoming a player in the global space economy. Now, Abraham's work shows that collaboration, structure, and business can transform entire sectors. So, Abraham, please tell us about your engagement with the CLIE Group and what that organization does.
Okay. The first time, CLIE, it's a cluster. It's the importance of this cluster is the focus. It's not focused just in Mexico. It's focused in Latin America, and that's because it's not many, as you can imagine, and you can suppose, many enterprises or many companies dedicated or devoted to aerospace technology or aerospace manufacturing. So specifically in aeronautics technology and aeronautics manufacturing here in Mexico, we are the sixth, even the fifth larger provider around all the world in aerospace components. So there are many, many clusters, like the cluster of Baja California, the cluster of Chihuahua, the cluster of the Bajío in Mexico, and more clusters that working with foreign companies to introduce and to make manufacturing lines and manufacturing products and assembly products. But the focus, the main focus of CLIE, the CLIE cluster, is to bring a new level of value, a new level of proposal value. And the proposal value is to start making their own technology and even to have the opportunity to be the manufacturers, but in a space and very specific embedded systems, telecommunication systems, electronics systems manufacturers. So it's the combination of OEM, original equipment manufacturing companies, and the other side is the addition of all these experience combined that Mexico has with providers of manufacturing in the aerospace or aeronautics sector, but or now this time in the biggest high-tech and deep-tech technology sector. So that's what CLIA is the vision. So it's combined all these strengths together and making a new a cluster with that vision.
Well, and so you're pretty much across almost any technology industry then, right? It's was what it sounds like.
Most of all is focused in in embedded electronics, yes, in aeronautics and manufacturing components like composites, a lot of sheet metals, and manufacturing stuff of aeronautic components. But we want to bring that to the next level in technology.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive, I'll tell you. So how many space industry clusters have you been incubated, or have you been working with doing incubation, and where are they located and that kind of thing?
The thing here, for example, in this cluster, we are for that you have a better understanding of the depth of this cluster, is we are like the 40 enterprises, 40 companies, and we accept even members that are in the university teams, like all that competition teams. And these competition teams, we try to give them more information and more just more information and more training to transform to startups. That's the goal, to transform those students groups that are many here in Mexico, and we have even champions in robotics, champions in cancer competition, and in many fields. But let that energy to transform and have more startups. So that's another goal that are we going are we are we are achieving in the CLIA. That's another way that we are doing. So that's the way that we are, just helping the industry context here in Mexico.
Yeah, that. So you mentioned the education programs and things like that, and what you're working with college, university kids, that kind of thing?
Yes. We also have an entire set, for example, program. But the thing in CLIA is to start working with the students, university students, that they understand by competence, by competitions, student competitions, the importance to make a project and to have the administrative thing, to have the finance, that they understand all the ecosystems of a real enterprise, a real startup, with this experiment or with this simulation in the university. And after that, they come with new ideas and with new innovation to the ecosystem, the real ecosystem of innovation. And that's the vision that we have in CLIA. And yes, of course, we work with many universities to strengthen and have these chances.
Wow. Well, that's pretty amazing. And do you work with younger kids too, in high school? Like, is this like a kind of a program where you're, like in this country we have a 4-H, kind of a program for young future farmers of America, that kind of thing. What do you guys, do you see that in high school?
Well, yes, we have some programs in education, that they are very focused, for example, in like a sounding balloons. That's a program that we have. So it's like the students participate in the elaboration of a complete experiment, a whole experiment, and they were they feel and they leave all the process to make a space mission by the writing, the elaborating the requirements, and after that making the experiment, have the integration of part of the electronics. Of course, we have some kids, we help with all the information, etc. But we let them into make more critic thinking, you know, more critic thinking, systems thinking, and of course that they have the chance to see something that they built in the stratosphere. That's another program that we have we are working on. It's like in the NASA sounding balloon program, but it's more like a focus in Latin America.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing for a guy so young that you've been able to do these incredible things and have been involved in this thing. This is, I mean, I'm blown away, man. I mean, I knew you were you had a lot of things going on, but I didn't realize you were that in that extensive of an environment. So what are the kind of programs are you planning to incubate in the future? Any other, any kind of new plans going on?
Well, I think that incubate new programs, I think that we need to strengthen these programs that we have, for example, in CLIA, and the strengths the programs that we have in Anterset. I think that is the more the necessity to make it bigger. For example, we have a project that is about to connecting this program that we have with the high schools, but with universities. So the thing it will be to identify those students that have potential in STEM education to bring that more facilities in the university. It's an idea, it's a concept, but we are working in have that kind of integration in the ecosystem, even with young students. But I don't know if you refer more like incubation in like more industrial stuff.
Exactly. Because there's so many kids need so much direction, and kind of positive, seeing a positive role model and seeing a positive direction and seeing something in their life that they can actually refer to. This is a really big deal for kids today. People are just sitting there looking at their phone, and sit all day long, right? I mean, and they play games and do whatever, but they aren't actually getting out and actually being involved in anything. And this is pretty impressive what you're doing with these kids and young adults. It's very impressive. So
It's a
what kind
very
of
important part.
programs do you plan on incubating in the future? Like other kinds of things.
Okay, you mean more like in the industry the thing? Okay, in the industry thing, we are working in the line to make more. We understand, of course, the importance of the nearshoring stuff. So we are working, for example, in hub lines, specific lines of production, to bring the new partners to America, for example, companies. So we are working close together with the other clusters here in Mexico. For example, the cluster that I told you, like the cluster of Chihuahua, the cluster of Baja, etc. And with them, we are working in bring very high value services of engineering and very high value services of deep tech, etc., like a cluster portfolio. And also to have the opportunity to be providers of multinational companies that are already in Mexico. That's the other role that we are seeking, like in the CLIA.
Wow. You got a lot on your hands, man. I mean, that's very, very impressive. So, Abraham, for viewers who want to follow CLIA's work or learn more about the clusters you guys support, where can they connect with you?
Okay. Well, at this time, I'm the national point of contact of Mexico, but my partner there is Hector. Hector is the president of Latin America cluster. So I think that if you are in Mexico and want to connect, you can connect direct with me. Or if you are in Latin America, we have representatives in many countries, for example, in Argentina, in Chile, in Ecuador. So it depends in what country you are. You just need to search us in Facebook, like Cluster Latinoamericano de Industria Espacial. And if you Google that, you will see our Facebook page and our web page, and there are all the information to contact us. You can contact direct us, the cluster, the local clusters, and the whole cluster if you need it to be guided.
Awesome. All right, up next, we're going to dig into Antares Aerospace and the technologies Abraham is developing right now. Stay with us.
And we're back. I'm Jim Bradfield, and this is Ever-Changing Technology here on Now Media Television.
Welcome back to Ever-Changing Technology. In this segment, we look at the heart of Abraham's innovation engine, Antares Aerospace. From propulsion to education to environmental restoration, Antares is shaping multiple industries across Mexico and beyond. So aerospace can feel complex and inaccessible, but you know, Abraham's work shows how cross-industry impact, education, sustainability, engineering can unify under one mission. So Abraham, you're the director of general of Antares Aerospace. Now, how did you get involved with that company?
Okay, well, I'm the founder, so I think that is like very very long story. But I was in the university, Jim. I was in university like even like 10 years ago. So I started Antares like a more student group. So I started, you know, the International Astronautical Congress. You know, this very big congress, and all the members of the board of NASA and JAXA and many important companies go to that congress. So that time in 2016, I was in Guadalajara, Mexico. So I went to that congress, and I was shocked to see all the space industry, the space sector, all the technology, all the stuff, you know. And I asked myself, and where is Mexico? What are doing us? So this is the industry, this is United States, this is of course Europe, this is Japan, but we are not there. And how me as a student can do anything or do something to enter that industry. So you know, it's difficult to do something, you know, in our space. So we started like a students group. So we started to go into competitions, in like ANSET competition in the United States, that is organized by NASA and Kratos Aerospace, for example, Lockheed Martin. So we were fourth place in world level. And the first time that we compete, we get the fourth place world level. So that motivates us to keep going for more. So I start a non-profit organization that focus at the first time in making STEM activities and STEM things with you know, young students and students in universities and all that thing. So I work with Coca-Cola company, for example, that they have a foundation and another stuff like that. But as this start to growing up, I have the necessity to making a company that makes all this industry true in Mexico, you know. So we started like a special engineering bureau in Mexico, like all the necessities that anything else in Mexico you can find. For example, making a little piece of technology or making a new valve, a new system, even an exoskeleton, that was our niche. So we're starting with that services in Antares Technologies, and that led us to making a more biggest company, you know. The first time that we get all the experience of the competitions and all the working with rockets and satellite components and all that project that were more intern, more intern stuff. But of course that was very important stuff, because that give us the opportunity to have the experience to do more engineering. So that's a little bit the story. It's a mix of many things, but we this time we are three divisions, you know. The division of technology that works with, as I told you, with many lines of technology. It's not limited by nothing. It's limited by the client. If the client needs, you know, exoskeleton, or needs a drone, or needs a very specific stuff, we build it. We have the aerospace company that is the brother of the technology company, and the aerospace is more related to, you know, these missions with the students, and of course the startup. I think more startup stuff, because we are working with making rockets, making satellites components, and more stuff in that area. And well, the relation with the education ecosystem that we have. So it's the three main divisions that we have.
Yeah, that's, there, when you look on your website, there's an awful lot to Antares. And so I'm really kind of interested in the space operation myself, the aerospace operation, the actual space. So you guys are working with rockets and rocket parts and delivery and that kind of thing. What exactly are we doing with rockets?
Okay, with the rockets, the history begins at like 8 years ago, and we started with, you know, very little components like the Aerotech, the company in the United States, like Estes Rocket Motors, and all that kits, very little. So we started to building our own kits, and after that, we started to build more and more bigger rockets. And the idea, or the main idea, is to build a rocket, or a very a rocket that can be the principal vehicle of Latin America, the principal orbital vehicle of Latin America, you know. So we are in the stage that we have the Project Genesis. The Project Genesis is a launcher, a very lift launcher, light launcher, that has the capacity of 50 kilograms to LEO. So that's the main project that we are working on, and we are working in the whole system, you know, in the engine, the propellants. It's a solid propellants engine, so we are working in the machinery to make the propellant, and in the test facilities. And well, we're doing very well. We have been testing a very positive way the engine, and we are working now in the actuation system for the guidance.
Wow. That's, it's just amazing that, you don't hear about that coming out of Mexico or Latin America for that matter, but you're also in all kinds of other areas, right? You're not just in Latin America. You work with what, the Indian group and the people in other countries, right? Where else are you guys working?
Most of all, we are now focused here in Mexico, definitely. But sometimes we have some projects that come very specific needs, for example, from United States, or maybe for Latin America, for example, for a drone system that we are working together with a Colombian company. So it depends. It's not all for all the projects, but if the necessity, or if the project it needs, we are working in many places, Jim.
Wow. All right. So coming up, We're going to be looking ahead. What does the future hold for aerospace technology in Latin America? And we're going to find out how Abraham is positioning his companies for global impact. Stay with us. Welcome back to Ever-Changing Technology. Don't miss a second of this show or any of your Now Media TV favorites, streaming live and on demand whenever and wherever you want. Grab the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our lineup of bilingual programs in both English and Spanish. Now, do you prefer podcasts? Well, listen anytime on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv, covering business, breaking news, lifestyle, culture, and more. Now Media TV is available 24/7, so the stories you care about are always within reach. So welcome back to our final segment. We now explore the future, the evolution of aerospace in Latin America, and the global collaborations shaping the next decade. Abraham is one of the people driving that future. He's forging partnerships and building innovations and networks across continents. The biggest challenges leaders face is anticipating the future, especially in a fast-moving technical world. Abraham's experience gives viewers a rare window into what's coming next. So, Abraham, what are you seeing for the future of aerospace technology in Latin America?
Well, Jim, I think that in Latin America, we have an historic turning point, because we have the talent here, Jim. We have the geography. We have even the demand, I think so, because we have very big capacities in manufacturing stuff. But we need to create the infrastructure, and we need to keep pushing that this can lead us to be an important partner around the world in this industry. I think that is bright, the opportunity in Latin America, if we can handle together all these opportunities and make our own chance to get up to this industry. So I think that is Latin America will be a very significant player in satellites, for example. I think that maybe in embedded system, and it depends. It depends, of course, the politics, but maybe in other stuff that is related with high technology, like semiconductors. But I think that Latin America will be a significant player, definitely.
Now, do we include just Latin America, or are we including South America and the Spanish countries down there and all that?
Well, I think that yes, Jim. You know, I think that, for example, Argentina is making very significant advances, for example, in satellite technology. Of course, Brazil is making their own stuff. Here in Mexico, I think so that we are starting to fixing or to making the change in the mindset of just making or just manufacturing to start making more stuff and to start innovation in more areas, you know? So I think that is yes, it's the whole Latin America stuff, but it's specifically, countries like Mexico, like Brazil, like Argentina, Colombia, and of course, Spain.
Yeah, we were Rafael Ruiz and I were just in Spain working with some companies down there with cybersecurity and all that kind of stuff. Now, I have a question about, are you involved in also security and things like that within these systems that you're putting together, right? What do you do for cybersecurity for all this?
Most of all is consultant services here in Mexico, you know, hardware, hacking hardware and secure yourself, hardware stuff. And, you know, to check all the complete network of the clients and all that stuff is not more related or more high services, because in Mexico, you know, it's a very big area of opportunity, because it's not very very used to the cybersecurity stuff, you know.
Right. You know, that's kind of what we've seen too. And so you also work with, do you work with companies from the US that come into you know, your sphere of influence and help them out?
Well, this time we are working more in the spheres of influence. For example, in the aerospace sector, more in the technologies that we are working on. For example, in chips, in sensors, more specific stuff of that, of the components that we buy, for example, for making our own systems. So I think that this is the collaboration that we are working on. So they have some spin-off, very interesting for us, and we are working with them in making, you know, specific versions for the Latin America sector, for example. So that's the thing that we're working on right now. But I think in the cybersecurity stuff, we are not related this time with any company of US.
Okay. Now, I first met you with Pacific Joint Space Facility in
Okay.
Australia. Are you still working with them?
No. I stopped working, I think, like 3 to 4 months after you left Pacific.
Yeah. So people don't know this, but you and I are both the CFOs of the company. Which is
Yes.
kind of interesting, out of Australia, a remote CFO. But
Yes.
yeah, that was an interesting time in our life, wasn't it? So now you mentioned to me before that you guys were looking to potentially come into the US in one of the areas. What were you looking to do in the US?
Okay, I think that the opportunity that we have in the US is that we have all these powerhouse of engineering that can substitute and understand more in culture, and of course more in depth, culturally meaning that, for example, another consultant firms, you know, like maybe of another part of the world, with the US mindset, you know, because we have this powerhouse that can be exported in many areas of innovation that is making US. Maybe, for example, in artificial intelligence, or it can be, for example, in making a specific hardware. But because we have many engineers working that can be very useful in some areas, or in some innovation that are going on in US.
Yeah, talk to me about the artificial intelligence. That's been a real big one with our audience. What are you guys doing with artificial intelligence?
Well, we are not completely related to artificial intelligence, but we are more like, well, we apply them, for example, in satellite imaging. So we have some algorithms like you know, pattern recognition, and artificial image analyzing with artificial intelligence. So that's the most that we are doing. And in some projects that is related with security, the clients or the customers needs to, for example, specific applications of the pictures, or specific applications of the algorithms, and we can make that for them, you know. But at this time, we are so we have another plan to make data centers, you know, with the state. That's another project that we are working on. So it's related with solar energy and data centers to be in this industry that is more related to data and artificial intelligence. But we are working on, we are in the first stages of this new project.
Yeah, so are you looking in future to do design work with AI and that kind of thing? Is that, you know, I'm interested in the AI thing because everything is going to be run with or run by or, you know, is a part of AI in the future. What are you seeing for that?
Well, I think that, for example, in my field, in aerospace and deep tech, etc., of course, we need to adapt and use and to create tools that run by artificial intelligence. I think that is very important to be focused this time or already to start going with that tendency because it's very strong, of course. I think that for Mexico and Latin America, it's starting to promote more in schools, for example, and more clusters, computational clusters, to make our own large language model. For example, it's a very big national project that this government is working on, for example. I think that maybe it can be good or maybe not, but they are trying this time to make something.
Well, you know, and that's pretty impressive. That's what we're seeing here too. I mean, we are seeing, you know, AI usage in the schools, everything going up, you know, people starting to develop things with AI, especially in technology. And, you know, the thing that's fascinating to us here, to me here, is really, what are you seeing with the future of aerospace and what kind of things are you expecting to be able to do? Are we looking at, you know, heavy payload? Are we looking at, you know, satellite launches? Or what are you looking at doing there?
You know, we have two specific markets in aerospace. The first one is more related to an historic point of view, because I think that we are going to be, or for the events and for the things that we are working on, we are going to be the first Latin America company to launch a rocket by their own and to reach the space. So I think that in that point of view, we have the opportunity to establish publicity and, you know, marketing stuff and commercial stuff in that area, and to start making more missions like with that goal, mindset in and to have the opportunity to get this accomplishment and of course to use it like a, you know, jumping trampoline, like a platform to go to other markets. And the markets that we are pursuing and we want to achieve is the satellite and the small satellite launching services, you know, those mm-hmm. those two markets for Latin America is what we're wanting to achieve this time.
Wow, you know, it's pretty amazing what you guys are doing, and you know, I really think that you guys have come a long way. You as Antares and you as in the CLIA group and all that kind of thing, and. You know, really, Abraham, so where can people follow your work and talk to you? And really, you know, especially younger people who want to get involved in that educational thing, what can they do to learn more about your upcoming initiatives and what you can offer them?
Okay. Well, I have for the younger people many courses, of course, that we can make, or even they can participate in the nonprofit organization that we have. We have many information there. And for example, you can have more information in our website. There is AntaresAerospace.com. And we have our Facebook page that is Antares Aerospace at the same. You can search it in Facebook. And well, if you can reach me out, I'm in Facebook like Abraham Martinez Rodriguez. So that's my whole name. So you can, you can reach me out there. Or even, I don't know if the production will be giving my phone number or something like that.
Yeah, you can get a phone number. Go ahead.
If you have something or want to talk, just make a call or give us a message, and we're very happy to talk with you.
Perfect. Well, listen, Abraham, thanks for sharing your mission and vision and groundbreaking experience with us. You know, this has been a great, great talk. And, you know, it's really good to re-engage with you. Your journey shows what's groundbreaking work is being done in Mexico. It's pretty amazing. It's really cool to see when innovation, education, and purpose come together. So for everyone watching, today's conversation reminds us that progress begins with imagination, grows through collaboration. Stay curious, stay courageous, and keep exploring technologies shaping our future. This is Ever-Changing Technology. I'm Jim Bradfield. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.